going on down there?
Hi, everyone. I'm Vangelis, and that's Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. We're here today to talk to you about BotCon 2010, because Aaron and I have been to a whole lot of BotCons. How many BotCons have you been to, Aaron?
Seven? Eight?
Oh,
many?
I've been to 10. Actually,
many.
Yeah, I've been to 10. I've been to 10.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
All right, so between us, we have 18 conventions worth of experience to share with all of you. Because
just BotCons.
Oh, okay, BotCons.
Other
yeah.
Conventions are existing as well.
I've only been to BotCons.
Well, no, I've branched out
to
other I've branched out to other Transformer centric conventions. I went to CascadiaCon once. Didn't know what anything there was. So we just want to have a little back and forth because hey, convention prep, BotCons next week. I have nothing for BotCon, so let's have something. We're gonna share with you our survival guide, if you will. For BotCon, if you're attending for the first time or if you haven't attended that often and you want to get some insights from total field experts like ourselves. Yeah, that's right. Patting myself on the back right now.
Yeah.
So rule number. OK, let's do the one that everyone does because they all think they're funny when they do it. Rule number hygiene. OK, here's
yes.
The thing, right? OK, you all shower. Every one of you showers. Every one of you has decent hygiene. This is not aimed at any of you. This is aimed at the guy who never actually goes to message boards or listens to podcasts or anything. You're all going to have great hygiene. You're all going to take showers. You're all going to wear deodorant. You're going to feel good in the morning because you took a hot shower with some of that nice hotel soap and body wash and stuff. You're going to go down to the convention floor. The guy who was sleeping in the dumpster outside because he's too cheap to get a hotel room is going to be wandering around the dealer room, leaving a trail of wretched stench, and none of us are to blame. So the key rule about hygiene isn't so much do hygiene, because you all do it already. The key is don't blame a brother, you know? It's not any of our fault. It's that guy. Capital T, capital G. That's my thoughts anyway.
If nothing else, the hygiene joke needs to be more be prepared for bad hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, if you're someone that thinks that you don't smell, you probably do. And it's something harsh to say, but my wife is a school teacher with kids that are right in that age, and they don't realize it. And that's why at school she has one of the things in the school list of stuff you got to get in the beginning of the year, you know, notebooks, pencils, watercolor paints, deodorant. So, yeah, if in saying this and making a big point of it, we get one person of our 12 listeners, since we actually don't get numbers back on how many people are listening.
I'm trying.
If we can get one person a shower, we've done our job.
Yeah.
And the rest of this is gravy.
And like Aaron said, this is more so a case of be prepared for other people's bad hygiene. Because like I said, I'm sure you guys all are completely aware of how to live your lives hygiene-wise. So we've gotten the easy one out of the way. So let's go to the other big one. Aaron, money. Do you
yes.
got money? I got some money.
I have, in the course of the last 3 or 4 months, been saving up cash. Every paycheck, I take a little bit out, and anytime I get an unexpected windfall, mileage check was real nice to me this month. I've got it in cash. I am taking the cash with me. I am not expecting to use an ATM near the convention center.
Absolutely good point. Everyone, there are going to be ATMs. They're probably, unless Disney has magic ATMs, and hey, you know, it's Walt Disney's land of wonder. Maybe they will. They're going to be cleaned out really fast. So if you can amass a large amount of cash before you go to BotCon, especially if you're coming from out of town, because if you're like me and from another country, using ATMs in the States sucks. So amass a lot of cash before you get there, because number one, a lot of the dealers only take cash. And number two, if you run out of cash and you're like, oh, I'll just go to an ATM, they might be tapped out. And credit card dealers typically are the Transformers Collectors Club, TF Source, and Big Bad Toy Store. And guess what? One of them isn't coming. So
is it the TF Club?
That's right. The TF Club will not be attending BotCon. No, it's Big Bad Toy Store, unfortunately. But if you think you can rely on a credit card and ATMs, absolutely do not cash first and foremost. Also, now Aaron has a great, you know, savings plan. I am financially irresponsible, but both of us are aware of, you know, how much you should bring considering what you want to get. Now, if you're going to go to BotCon and you just want to get the convention toys, I'd say come packing about $400.
Add-on souvenir toys have been under $200 each year.
Well, I'm saying, you know, plan ahead for if you want to grab extras, right, or something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're just going for those and you can keep to a very solid budget, $200 should very likely in that range get you the add-on souvenirs.
Yeah.
Now, that's not including food.
Exactly.
Or any drinks. If you go to the 2005 meetup, that's going to be going on the sushi bar attached to the
sushi
hotel?
Bar with karaoke.
Sushi karaoke.
This is built for me. Okay. By the way, I challenge all of you to karaoke because I am the damn champion of karaoke. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm laying it out there. 8 p.m. Is it Friday?
8 p.m. at the, I believe it's Friday. I'm trying to load everything for the BotCon official 2005 meetup.
Right.
Coolest event, not 2005, at the Kimono's Lounge at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort. We'll start the festivities at 8 p.m. on Friday, June 25th, for drinks, sushi, and karaoke.
And a lot of those things cost money.
Yes.
So, as Aaron was saying, plan, especially, actually, let me add in, since we're going to be in Disney World in Orlando, unless you're driving in a way where you can stop at a bunch of convenience stores on the way, be prepared for nasty food bills, at least given my experience at Disneyland in LA. Now, people who actually go to Disney World can probably correct me on this, but Disney theme park, anything makes me think everything's going to cost lots. Maybe it'll taste as good as it costs, but you're probably not going to be able to just walk over to 7-Eleven and get like a giant case of Pepsi or something like that.
Yeah. That may be the place if you're someone that is hoping to rely on cards. I mean, Disney's going to take the credit cards. So could be a place where you can kind of offset that. Generally, that's what I do, is I know that I have a credit card that I generally just use for toys and the whatnot. And that'll probably be where most of my food things go. Any place that I can use a card, I will, but I like to have plenty of cash on hand. And the other nice thing is, with all the cash on hand, if you get done with the convention and you still have cash, and you can pay off your credit cards that you racked up or just put it back in your checking account.
Yeah, remember, and I fail at this constantly, there's nothing wrong with having money left over at the end of the convention.
Yeah. It happens.
You see, I tend to fall into the more unfortunate thought group where I am at the end of the convention. I'm like, oh, I still have $40 I have to spend. Key word there, that is the negative word, is have to. Okay, that's two words. do not feel like you have to spend all your money because, you know, it'll really suck. You spend all your money. You're like, all right, time to go to the airport. Gotta get a taxi. Oh.
Well, many taxis now accept credit cards.
Nah, that is true. So don't max out your credit card while you're at it. Yeah. And also, okay, here's the thing. That's if you want to go for the bare minimum, okay? I would recommend saving up about $400 so you have a nice buffer around just getting the convention toys and enjoying yourself there. If you're hoping to hit up the dealer room hardcore, bring at least $600 if you're only looking for a couple things, because you're going to impulse buy whether you think you are not going to or not. You know, you're going to impulse buy something. If you are someone who wants to go all balls out and you're like, what's the minimum I should bring to BotCon if I'm going to go all balls out? Four figures. Bring $1,000 because that is the ultimate number. $1,000 means you get your convention toys, you get the thing you're looking for, you got a big ass buffer for your impulse buys, and you can still survive outside of the dealer room. Now, if you can't bring $1,000, you know, the larger number of bills you can bring, the better. Don't go there thinking, I'm just going to come here with $50 and have a good time. Right. You're really going to wish you brought more.
Right. There's nothing more really to say. It's be prepared to spend money, and generally dealer room prices are at or around eBay prices. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, just like eBay. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. So if you've got a list of things, which can kind of transition into another point,
indeed,
have a list of things.
Yes.
Spend 20 minutes going over, dropping a search real quick into eBay completed items to get just a quick, rough idea of what you're looking for and what a good price is. And then have that cheat sheet on your phone or print it out. And so when you go, you can sit there and have an idea of what you're looking for if you have holes in your collection or things that you'd really like, and you don't get sidetracked. I know that many convention purchases that I've had in the past have been, shiny quarter, and gone and looked at something else.
That's
and
me.
And I have an Erector because of that.
Excellent. Hey, but, you know how I was saying before how I fall into that camp of the people who do the wrong thing in regards to money? You know what else I fall into the camp of doing the wrong thing for a lot of the time? What you're talking about. I often come without a shopping list, without a price list. I get there, I impulse buy some things, and then I get completely lost. And then I see some stuff I kind of want, then I forget how much I should be paying for it, and then I either overpay on something, get lucky, or more often than not, don't buy it because I'm too afraid to overspend.
Yeah. And the other nice thing about having a price list is occasionally you'll have a dealer that has something that's good, that's slightly overpriced, and you'll think, well, maybe I'll go get that, and you can kind of look at it and then wander around the dealer room if it looks like it's not going anywhere, and find somebody that's cheaper, and instead of going, oh, is that 45 or 35?
Yeah.
Because this guy's got it for 40, and if it's, and you can just sit there and real quick just go, okay, well, TF Source has it for 37, and then you can come back around or talk to anybody that you may know that's there with you and say, hey, well, you know, the one-off dealer guy there in the corner had it for $5 less, and so in a two-minute walk, you can save yourself $5.
Yeah. Oh, and this leads me to two related points. Okay, actually three related points. Number one, I've been up since 2:30 this morning, and it's 4:41 p.m. now, so apologies for my rambleness. Point number two. If you know people, and you're meeting with friends, use them as a resource, because, you know, it's not like it's a bad thing to go like, hey, did you see insert thing, or did you see how much insert thing costs at insert table? And number three, now this is a bit of a risk, I highly recommend, even if you really want something, do one round of the dealer room before you start buying. Get a lay of the land. If it's a hot item, you might miss out on it if it gets totally sold out in the opening rush, but more often than not, it will save you so much heartache where you went like, ooh, there's an alternative, blah, 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 Black Convoy, $90, boom. Then, you know, you pick it up. You're so happy. You turn around and it's sitting right there in front of you, $45. And you're like, oh. So we're trying to save you from saying, oh.
Yeah. Impulse buy can be fun, but impulse buys are generally pricey.
Yes. And I mean, there are times when you do them. I mean, if you got disposable income, you don't care. By all means, do it. But if you really do want to be careful, we can vouch for the value of getting a lay of the dealer room land before you start dropping. What do you call money over there in the States? Washington's?
Franklin's?
Ben Franklin's. Before you start dropping
The $100 bill is the.
Oh.
The Benjamin.
Well, what's the 20?
The 20 is a Jackson.
Before you start walking around dropping them big green Jacksons, you know, get a lay of the land.
And in case you're wondering if 50 is a grant.
Okay, that's good to know. I prefer Jackson myself. Over here in Canada, I got to say, I like the 20, and it's green up here too. Where was I going with that? Right! Okay. Now, we're talking all about how to spend money and how to do really good at spending money. But there's other things to do at BotCon. Now, panels. Let's do panels first. I want to do autographs after this. Remind me about that. But okay. Panels. BotCon has a very cramped schedule, but BotCon still has not fallen into the San Diego Comic-Con madness of having stacked panels. So if you really want to see every single panel, number one, get a Primus package. That's too late to say now. But number two, check the schedule and plan your day around it. Now, personally, what I would say is check the schedule and see what panels you really want to go to, and don't feel bad about missing ones that don't interest you.
I'm not interrupting you because I'm totally on with you. So.
Oh, you're writing notes. Okay, good. Because in my case, for instance, I have seen two Peter Cullen panels, and I don't really feel like I need to see more of them because I have seen two. So I'm probably going to skip a Peter Cullen panel. A lot of folks love Peter Cullen and have not seen him yet, so that's going to be a popular panel. The voice actor ones, I would recommend hitting the voice actor panels. If there's panels that you really should hit, at least one voice actor panel, go to the Hasbro panel where they reveal all the cool stuff. Those are the two big ones. There are other cool ones as well, but those start to fall off into, like, you know, do you want to see the panel with the IDW Comics guys? Do you want to see the panel with, is there a costuming one this year?
Yes. Sunday, noon to 12:50, panel Transformers costuming.
Yeah, so if you have an interest in costuming, it's great. If you don't feel like you have to see it. I think that you get your money's worth out of the panels just seeing a voice actor panel and the Hasbro panel. Everything else is good and gravy. In panels, by the way, I guess, do you have anything you want to add, or should we go to the question and answer type thing?
Really, with panels, definitely with you, they do one genius thing on the back of your badge, if you're a badge holder. They do have the schedule that has all of the panels and autograph times. Use that as a guide.
Yes.
That is a great thing.
Because we used to have to lug around, okay, I say lug, they were just a pamphlet, but we used to have to look up and carry around the convention program. Guess what's really easy to put down and forget where you put it? A little book.
The convention program?
Yeah.
Really just kind of, like you said, look at what panels. I mean, I know already on Friday I want to see the Takara Tomy panel.
Me too.
Kind of lunchish after it's Bob Budiansky. But then shortly after that is going to be at 2 o'clock, it's going to be the sales room. So I know that in there somewhere is when I've got to decide, look, okay, I got to go and get something to eat. Mm-hmm. Because odds are that Friday, if you're a Primus package holder, 2 to 5 is the private sales room experience. That's when you're going to be in there.
Yeah. You know. It's worth mentioning the private sales room experience in the dealer room. That's the Friday one. Only Primus packages can go in. The dealers are going to put out the hot stuff on that night, but they are not going to put out all their stuff. So don't feel bad if you got there the second after the last one got sold out, because the dealers have 2 more days and those 2 days have walk-ins, and they want to have stuff there for the walk-ins. So don't fret it if you can't find it on Friday.
Yeah, that's the only time when you'd need to be, you know, panting at the door at noon waiting for the 2 o'clock open to be the first one in line, is if you have the craziness of needing to find something like my long white whale was of the G1 6-inch titanium Ultra Magnus.
There you go.
There were a couple of them each year I was looking for them. However, they both went in that early time frame. So if you do have one kind of rare, but not the insano expensive rare type of thing, you may want to be just on it for that. But otherwise, line waiting, the only way that you're going to get that super extra awesome hot deal is if you know where that deal is, you're the first person in line and manage to sprint. They pretty much open the doors and then they have 4 people looking at badges as you walk through.
Yeah, they don't that, you can't that do the line, trick that, you can't do the trick of like just waiting next to the line and walking in now. They are last year I used to do that. Last year I couldn't do that. I very distinctly recall. So you can still, if you wait 5 minutes, you'll be able to just walk in. But, you know, those five minutes are very hazardous 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of, that little bit there goes with the corollary of keep your badge with you. It's not that hard.
Oh, yeah, don't lose your badge, guys. I've done it. And you know what sucks? You get to the dealer room and then you have to turn around and go all the way back to your hotel room to get the badge you left behind.
Yeah.
It sucks. Don't do it.
But go ahead and transition to the Q&A. Since we kind of
we veered off there. I have more to say about the dealer room in terms of haggling and Sunday too. Just putting that little mental note down. Okay, Q&A's in panels. Primarily, it's the Peter Cullen panel and the voice actor panel and the Hasbro panel. Those are the ones I think of most of all. IDW does it too, but I don't think theirs gets quite as nuts as these ones can. Now, okay, if you're at your first BotCon, you know, don't feel stage fright, but just know a couple tips here for if you're asking your very first Q&A. Because any of you guys who have been to other Q&As, you should know all this by now. The first one is, I know that you really want to get into voice acting, but I'm really sure that if you ask them about it, they're just going to tell you to keep at it, get an agent, and try to find an in. It's a question that gets asked so often that you're going to ask it really innocently. And some jerks are probably, and I admit I can be a jerk sometimes, some jerks are probably going to just go like, oh, the moment you ask that question. The voice actors that are coming this year have been to many BotCons except for Paul Eiding. So the only one who I think would get something out of the question would be Paul Eiding. So that one, I really, you know, it's not something that you're going to really hear something stunning and revealing about there.
Right.
You know, if you want to get into the voice acting industry, I think we all know, you know, get an agent, keep at it, and work hard. Like, that's what a lot of their answers boil down to.
And then most of them say in their personal experience, there was also a healthy dose of luck of being with the right agency at the right time or meeting the right producer. I remember what that story was. Met the right producer at, they were at a restaurant. The producer was at a restaurant and the producer just had somebody back out, or I'm trying to remember even where that story was, but it was just one of those things that was completely random. And then they ended up being a recurring character voice. And
that's Dan Gilvezan, wasn't it?
Maybe.
I think. I'm not sure. I get his stars mixed up with someone else's.
Yeah.
The key thing is, though, like a lot of us can actually tell you the answer to that, because a lot of voice actors have been asked that, and a lot of us heard their answers. So it's a little bit of a redundant question. But then again, maybe, you know, we're saying this on a podcast where I'm very sure most of the folks listening have already been to BotCons.
Right.
But it's something to put out there. And on the other side of the coin, if someone asks that question, don't be the guy who goes like, don't be the cool guy in the back of the room who's all like, I've been to 3 BotCons and I know the answer to that. You know, like, don't make someone feel bad just because they screw up one little thing. Right. Like, everyone's had their first BotCon. A lot of folks get very starstruck. I get very starstruck. I don't know how to talk to guests. I mean, it helps that one of them is Scott McNeil, and that dude is crazy nuts. But, you know, don't be the, you know, I'm a bit of a know-it-all, but be the positive know-it-all, not
right.
the
helpful one.
Yeah, don't be the guys who don't be the okay. Also, don't be the guys who, when the guy goes up and says Headmaster RC, okay, we all know the joke, all right. But don't be the guys who go like, oh, here he goes again. Because again, like the only thing worse than a recurring joke is a recurring reaction. So I'm just putting it out there. Like, the main thing is, just because you know lots, don't be a dick about it at the convention, because you'll make someone feel really bad, and you don't need to. After we had that whole thing about hygiene.
That covers a lot of my thoughts for Q&A. Another thing is to pay attention.
Don't ask
many
a question
times,
that...
especially with the Hasbro panel, you'll get similar questions or exact same questions, or the we're trying to trick them into an answer questions.
Yeah.
The redundant questions are frustrating because there's a line of people generally waiting to ask questions that they feel are important, and it kind of shows in my mind a little bit of disrespect to the guys, because you're not paying enough attention to listen to the questions that they're, or the answers that they're giving to the questions, and trying to ferret answer out of them. Okay, well, you didn't not say no, so does that mean yes? You know, if it's something where they're deliberately giving the skate around the question answer, it very likely means yes, but we can't say yes because it's not ready yet.
Yeah, if the Hasbro guys are trying to, you know, insinuate something, don't push them harder, because they're probably insinuating it for good reason,
right.
i.e. NDAs and the whatnot, or not wanting to say like, oh yeah, we're trying to have a solid diecast 6-foot tall transforming RC made, because then of course the moment they get to the internet, it's going to be they promised to. So that's why they stay vague about stuff, so you can't, you know, cite something and then, you know, miscite it and cause ruckus, basically.
Right. And other times it's been because they have shown things that didn't quite happen, or like last year they talked about how they were going to try to the I'm trying to remember just how the phrasing was. They were going to try their best to get all of the animated molds that were made up to that point to someone, and that very quickly became they're releasing all the animated stuff. It's like, well, no, they're trying, and they've done, I mean, they've gotten RC and Ratchet out there. They're very potentially getting or it's been solicited, or what are the next two was going to be Ironhide. No, Ironhide and
Rodimus.
Rodimus out there, but there are still things that are up in limbo, you know.
Yeah,
we don't know what's going on with Wingblade. We don't know what's going on with stuff like that. And I've seen many people do the whole internet form, what the heck, Hasbro? And it's really, well, no, they're trying.
Well, you know, what's also funny about it is, thanks to these very same panels, we know that Hasbro can't guarantee retailer exclusive pickups, because thanks to these panels, we learned that the retailers are the ones who can turn things down.
Right.
So it's funny how that's the thing about Hasbro panels. A lot of folks like to report parts of them and then forget about other parts of them. And it's a bit of a frustrating thing. I mean, it doesn't help that you can't record the things, but it there's a lot of folks who I think kind of quote mine out of the Hasbro panels a little bit, and not even by their own intentional, you know, nefarious schemes or anything. It's like the Hasbro panels often end up with people just mishearing things almost.
Right. Or just dicing up, ooh, I heard this, that's all I cared about. And then it's like, well, yeah, there was other stuff in there.
There's that word beforehand where they said maybe. That yeah. Really expensive
We are trying to potentially do this, but...
You're going to do it?
But.
Really?
Right.
You're going to do it this year?
Leader Cosmos, what?
So yeah, also in the Q&A, don't be creepy. Okay, BotCon 2009, I think, was legendary for a lot of people.
Had a very good discussion with your daughter.
Yeah, it was a convention that had a lot of stories. And, you know, the stories are fun to tell, but they're also a little bit embarrassing at times. So, you know, don't be weird. I don't mean, you know, don't ask weird questions. I don't mean don't ask weird questions. Just think about just for a second, you know, am I going to ask something that's going to make the BotCon dudes turn off the mic and drag me out of the room? Or am I going to ask something witty, you know? So moving on from that, autograph lines. Okay, autograph lines. If you are into autographs, I would highly recommend getting a layout of who's doing autograph lines and, more importantly, how many times they're doing them. And third, most importantly, when they're going to conflict with what panels. And that's how you should plan out your autographs. That's all. Like, if you're going to go for all the autographs, it's going to make your schedule hectic. That's all I can tell you. That's why I kind of stopped going for 100% autographs. But I don't mean you shouldn't. You know, if you want to do it, just be prepared for the work that is involved.
I will admit, I don't think I've ever gone for autographs.
Hmm.
That's it's just because, I mean, like you said, you know, you'll wait in line for an hour to get an autograph, and to me, the cost benefit analysis doesn't work out, because I can spend that hour going through the dealer room or hanging out at a panel or sleeping sometimes.
Well, I think in our case, you and I both don't hold autographs to quite the same value that a lot of other folks do. I know there are a lot of folks who love autographs, and I by no means mean to say that they are, you know, crazy or anything. Autographs are clearly something that is like almost a sub hobby in and of itself. Just if you're gonna go for them, just be prepared for your time to be a lot trickier to plan out,
because even layer. Even though I will say this much, even though okay, where's the first autograph? The first autograph. Okay, this is one that won't be so bad. The first autograph set up on Friday is Hideki Oki, Bob Budiansky, and Aaron Archer. Okay, that's not going to be one probably just backed up. Let's roll on down to
the one's going to be backed up.
9 to 11, Peter Cullen on Saturday. Yeah. That starts at 9. You likely need to be in line at 8, or no, not even 8, 7, no,
7
or 6.
Okay,
you
want to
be guaranteed in that front chunk.
Weird Al Yankovic had one autograph session last year. Peter Cullen had two. Weird Al Yankovic's autograph session had almost no lineup, because Peter Cullen's lineup was full before the line even started to move. Like, that's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, it's be prepared to do a lot of waiting, which is kind of a third or fourth or fifth or whatever point number we're on. Edit in a point number here.
18th.
Our 18th point is be prepared for lines.
Yeah, I'd recommend learning some standing in place calisthenics to keep your blood moving in your legs.
Because even if you have, like me, the 6 o'clock pickup on Thursday, which is the first pickup, you can very well end up waiting for a couple hours. And then there's what are they doing, about a half hour or by the hour this year? I forget.
By the hour.
There's going to be the 7 o'clock people are going to get there and think, all right, I can go straight to the front of the line, and then not. And then the 8 o'clock people are going to stack up behind that. And then the 9 o'clock people, or however late they go. So be prepared, especially on registration pickup, and then right after registration pickup, if you want to get all the other exclusive toys, you're going to have to go in another line. And oh, yes. Be ready for that.
5 hours last year.
Last year was 5 hours. Yeah, I think mine was more of 4.
Which is funny because
I came out as you were still working your way in.
Yeah, well, I have another pro tip, by the way. That reminds me. If you really want to get through your pre-reg line early, don't have a last name that starts with S.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Oh, crap.
Oh, Aaron, you were doing so well this whole time.
Yeah. So be ready for that. Be ready to be sociable. And if not, have something to do.
Yeah.
But it's not something that completely diverts all of your attention. Even though the lines move slowly, everybody, it's the cattle idea, mm-hmm. and you want to be up in line and be moving. So, you know what? Talk to people.
Yeah, hey, that's my recommendation.
Doing? Where you come from? Do you go to this board? Do you go to that board? You'd be surprised at the people that we've met randomly. Empire.
Yeah.
Cool friggin' dude. We spent half of last year's convention with him. Was just one of those random, hey, how you doing? What? Oh, hey, you're... Yeah, I know that screen name. Okay. And you know what? As long as you don't come off super creepy, I'll talk to you all day.
Yeah, I can't remember what year it was. Shattered Glass year, I believe. I was in line with Warrior Priest and the rest of his family. And they were cool to get to know, too. The creepy thing, by the way, yeah, that's something else. Okay, my recommendation, if you're coming to your first BotCon, you don't know anyone, okay, get to know people. Go out. Yes. Say hi to people. But, like, don't cling on to them and then become like a manacle that won't let go, because like a lot of folks prefer to be kind of chill about things. So if you're like, oh, hey, I've never met you before, can I like climb in your backpack and sit on your shoulders for the entire convention? Then they're probably going to try to find a way to really politely say no. And the thing is, there are big websites. If you're listening to this, you probably post on TFW 2005. There are so many people from the boards who are going to be there. You have like 20 plus people to go out and meet and greet and say hi to. And that's like a vast, gross underestimation. So,
yeah,
you know, just be sociable and just don't, you know, be sociable and be aware that, you know, you're meeting people for the first time. They might be like myself. I am a social butterfly in the dealer room, but I also am like bipolar in my social attitude, yeah, where I like to hang out with people for a while, but then all of a sudden I really like to walk off and be by myself for a couple minutes because I don't like being around people for super long. Like I have this weird like little limit meter. I have to like walk off and wait for the cool down. So, you know, yeah. I play too many video games.
Yeah. But then the second half of that, so you have your pickup, and that's Thursday night if you're coming in on Thursday. You go, you wait in line, you get you'll get your box set, and you'll get your freebie along with your... They'll generally give you like a folder with your comic book and your certificate of authenticity and all that fun stuff. Then if you want to get the add-ons, where I was trying to take that before.
Sorry, like I said, 2:30.
Tangent.
And you know what? Maybe you'll click with someone and they'll want to hang out with you the whole time. They'll let you know. Okay, sorry, I'm going up.
So after you do that, generally you'll go to another line, and it's actually two lines. One side will be cash, one side will be credit for the Fun Pub store. Or
yes,
the Transformers Club store, or whatever they call it.
Which one moves faster?
The cash line moves faster.
Yes.
However, this is a place that if you want to conserve your cash, you can go into the credit line.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, this is one of my peeves, we'll say nicely, mm-hmm. that I have with the current system, in that you have to go into another line to get your add-ons. And for 90% of the people that are in that line, as a conservative number, they're going to be going just to get those add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't move that quickly.
No, because they sell other things.
They sell other things, and selling the other things, they just give you your own order form on paper that you fill out.
Yeah,
and you say, I want one of these and two of these and one of these and one of these.
And what's the big downside?
Last year... it's as if we haven't talked about this before.
Yeah.
last year with the Revenge of the Fallen release at BotCon, they had Revenge of the Fallen Deluxe. Period.
Yeah, quantity number.
And you had no idea what they had or anything. So there were a lot of people, and the cash line even was moving a hellaciously slow because there were a lot of people that wanted to get one of everything.
Yeah, you know, so you
I
up there,
saw four
case.
Or five dollies go the other way with stuff full of toys because they wanted one of everything, and then they had to have somebody go and find one of everything and
that's
pull
what
out
I did.
And but pull out everything. So
I was one of the ones. I'm just saying, you know, I was one of the ones. And you know what really sucks? You get up there, and you say you've gone to the display case, you've taken a picture of it, you know what they have because they say we have everything in the display case. You've written out all your numbers. You get up there, you put it down, you're like, I want one of everything. They're like, oh, well, just so you know, we've sold out of a few things. The entire plan has now been ruined. That's
right, because that's one of the oddball things about FunPub is they charge you tax after the fact. Most dealers, kind of go back to the dealer room thing, they're all required to pay Florida sales tax. They're selling things in Florida. 1 + 1 = 2.
Mm-hmm.
However, what they do is they say, okay, $20. But how they'll work their paperwork is it was 1947 and then $1.53 in taxes to be, or whatever, 1947, 1840, whatever. They'll do the math backwards to pull the sales tax out of it.
Yeah.
And that way, it's round numbers for you. You're not hauling around pockets full of pennies to round things off. FunPub doesn't do that.
They are a business.
They are a business. And a business can't fake it like that or some such. So they expect you to do all the math on that paperwork. It's a frustration. I wish that they would just say on the pre-registration, large convention set, small convention set, troop builder set. And I would very merrily click 1, 2, 3 and go, but that's not a getting ready for BotCon because all that's well past.
Well,
I'm going to take that soapbox and put it back in the closet.
I see it in there. It's sliding. Okay, door's closed. Now, the thing is, we're making this a bit scary. They have calculators up there, and the people at the tables, they're willing to take as long as you need. The thing is, if you take really long, everyone behind you is going to start to hate you. So we all got to work together to try to expedite the process. Now, what I usually try to do as of last year, and if they, for instance, you know, release Generations and Power Core at this one, I'm going to go to the display case with, you know, everything that's in package. I'm going to film it, and then I'm going to have a clip and maybe a photo or two to reference. I can go like, hey, dude, in front of me, you want to know what they have, or at least what they say they have. Here, look at this.
Right.
So it's tricky. That whole line, that's the most painful lineup of the whole convention right now.
Yep.
But when it's done, you'll feel so good. Then you're going to walk that. You're going to be so punch drunk carrying your big box of toys, and someone's going to corner you with a flip video camera and film you for their vlog for BotCon, and you're going to be completely out of it. Oh, sorry. Where am I going with that?
Yeah.
So that's really the gist of that lineup. The other stuff we can talk about, I want to go to this one now quickly. Haggling in the dealer room. You can haggle, okay? You can. They may disagree with you on a table-by-table basis. Be prepared for that. However, if you want to have an ace up your sleeve, there are two ways to help you haggle. Number one, buy a bunch of stuff and then ask for $5 or $10 off. That's a classic one. Often dealers will go for something like that. Or number two, if you see something in the dealer room and you don't think that anyone else but you wants it, wait till Sunday, because no dealer wants to carry anything back home with them. So in my case, for instance, if you saw Transkito and the other one of those two Beast Wars Megas, is that what they were called?
Yeah,
they were
Megas back in the day.
Those two Megas, for instance, right? I didn't have either of them. Dealer had them for $15 each. I kept waiting. Final 3 minutes of the dealer room, I walked up to him and said, hey, man, I want these two things, and I only have $5. He just went like, all right, give me the $5. You take one of each. Thank you, bro. And I was like, cool. So especially if you're someone who just got into this and you want to go back to older lines like the Beast lines or the Unicron trilogy in particular, those lines, if you're okay buying it loose, you can haggle yourself some damn good looseness, brother or sister.
The odds are your big stores aren't going to do as much haggle unless you go for the big volume.
Yeah.
Don't go to, I about said BBTS, huh?
Oh, you
don't
go to
Big Bad at BotCon this year.
Don't go to the guys pretending to be BBTS.
Don't go to TF Source and point at one of the cassette sets and say, hey, $20 for that. Because they're going to say no. Because it's not a $20 set. But if you go and you buy $200 of 8 different things and you say, hey, can I get $10 off on this? You might be able to get that to happen. But if you go, your better bet of that is going to be going to an individual, or I know there are a couple people this year that are going to be there selling their collections You know, if you go and you say, hey, $40, how about $35? You might be able to get something started there. But, yeah, don't go, it's $40, can we take five? Because odds are you're going to get laughed at.
Yeah, and also, that reminds me. Okay, we're talking about buyer etiquette. Seller etiquette. Now, I'm not going to tell sellers what to do. I'm going to tell buyers how to deal with seller etiquette that they don't like. If you find out, if you find a seller to be really unpleasant, you know, then walk away and don't say anything. Because if it's a case of a dude who's selling stuff way too overpriced and, you know, he's a crazy jackass, no one's liking him, he's talking down to everyone, guess what? No one's going to buy from him. So you don't have to make a spectacle about it. You don't have to go like, that guy is a crook! Because when they walk over there and they see that he's selling toys that just came out for $50 a pop and they're like scouts, they're probably going to go like, I agree with you, and you don't have to say anything. So, right. Just putting that out there.
Yeah,
you don't have to be a hero.
Really, you ultimately control the purchase. You know, if you decide that it's not worth it, they're not reaching in your pocket, taking the money and handing you the toy.
Yeah.
So, if you don't like the price, you don't like the way they're dealing, walk away. You're not out anything but your time.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other dealer room stuff we could talk about, or have we kind of covered the gamut?
About the only other thing in the dealer room that's not necessarily a dealer room would be Hasbro.
Oh, right, the Hasbro display booth. Okay, yeah, okay, just my own big one. Don't charge headfirst at the display case, run into it, and knock everything over, because everyone's going to laugh at you. Unless you're a little kid, then everyone's going to go, oh!
Oh, is he okay? No, he chipped the paint! Oh.
And if you want video proof of that, I actually was taping the case when a little kid ran face first into it, and you can hear the entire crowd go, oh!
I believe Rodimus I may have been over. Videotaping it from the other side, too. I was going through some old video. You could get it in stereo, NCIS style, and hunt down where the kid actually impacted the...
Oh, I have one. Okay, because I've actually had this happen. Not a Botcon, but elsewhere. Well, it might have... I can't remember. Okay, if you really hate Hasbro, right, you totally think Transformers suck now. And there are a bunch of guys at the dealer... at the Hasbro booth are going like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. Oh, that's pretty cool. You're not going to make any friends if you walk up, tap them on the shoulder, like, hey, you know what? Those all suck! You know, because... And I wish I could say I've not seen something like this happen. I've dramatized it a bit, but I've kind of seen it happen where a dude tries to join in on a conversation by disagreeing with everybody. And it's like, I am all about, you know, back and forth. But when it comes to, like, meeting new people, you kind of want to start off on a friendly point. So that's one to put out there. Like,
yeah. The only thing I was going to say with the Hasbro booth is there's a little bit of what I think could be etiquette in it. And, you know, there are going to be a lot of people wanting to take pictures. A lot of people wanting to take video. Give them a little bit of right away, you know, because if you're shouldering them, all you're doing is you're upsetting them. You're making them take longer. You're being a dick. Enjoy the toys. Generally, they'll put out the stuff that's just come out and the stuff that's current at the beginning of the show. And then after they have their first panel, they'll put out stuff that's upcoming to like a month or two out. Maybe they talked about the panel, and then after the Sunday panel, which is the big, here's what we're doing over the next 6 months, they'll put all the wacky stuff out in there that nobody had any idea about that they've managed to keep under their hats for so long. So it will be worth a couple of trips around to take a look at that. Oftentimes they have designers or similar personnel in there.
They are cool people.
They're cool people. Say hi, shake their hands. In previous years, they've given out free sketches. I don't know if they'll do that this year. Don't expect them to do that.
They gave me an RPM last year.
Yeah, I got one too.
Yeah.
You got a Bumblebee and I got a Prime.
Yeah, I got the... Oh.
Yeah. I was actually just listening to our What We Got podcast from last year to get myself psyched.
Oh.
But I have seen people ask questions, and I have asked questions as well of the guys that are there, like, hey, how does X work? And sometimes if, you know, they're not insanely busy trying to keep things from happening, they'll say, well, it's like this, that, and you can go over and look at the toy and see that little bit there, that's what folds around to, oh, okay, cool, well, thanks. And you can learn a lot by just very politely asking a simple question.
Yeah, just be aware of your surroundings. If they have 15 people talking to them at once and they're trying to leave to go to their panel, they probably aren't going to ask you your question. But, you know, if it's dead time, like if there's a big panel going on you decide not to go to, they're probably going to be they're going to love talking to someone. Yeah. If they're not talking to someone, they're sitting in a booth staring into space. So it's all about your surroundings. That reminds me, too, in regards to the rush to see all the new stuff in the cabinets, remember, it's not like they're going to pull it all out of the cabinets 5 minutes later.
Right.
So you don't have to charge in. Like, you can wait. You know, Sunday, it's all still going to be, maybe some of it will be knocked over by Sunday, but you know, it'll still be there for at least a day or day and a half. So, you know, if there's a huge rush, I would recommend just step back and be like, I'm going to come back in 10 minutes because it'll probably be gone by then.
Right.
The rush, not the thing you want to see. I kind of recommend.
I'm trying to think of what else we need to talk about since we're running up on 45 minutes already. Oh, dress codes.
Oh, right, for the dinner. Yeah.
For the dinner and also for the 2005 meetup because the lounge bar karaoke place is similar attire.
Oh, okay. So, like, that's casual formal, right?
That's, yes, also called business casual.
Yeah.
Or casual attire, which generally means a collared shirt and slacks.
Yeah, and not like a collared, expensive, long-sleeve white tuxedo shirt, but like a golf shirt can work.
Yeah, polo shirt, golf shirt, button-up dress shirt, all of those are good. In previous years, I'll be bringing all of them, Alfie and Child's Play have made polo shirts that have some sort of Transformers-y theme. Those are great. Those are geek. I very rarely get to wear those. I think when I was at Walmart last, I looked and it was like $10 for a single color, three button or two button polo shirt. It's a nice shirt to have if you ever have to do anything, business, if you ever have interviews or anything like that, even if you work outside all the time. It's not that expensive to have that and a pair of khakis or a pair of dress slacks, not jeans. Sometimes jeans are okay if they're well-kept jeans. But not your ratty working outside, eight holes in them, and a skull ring on the back pocket. That's not business casual. That's not, you know.
Now, I'm not sure if we both have the same approach here, but in my case, it's not so much that I'm all like, you must follow the dress code. It's that the dress code is mentioned in the forms just for that one time for the Saturday. Like, I didn't know about the TFW one having it too, but the Saturday dinner, and it mentioned it the one time, and, you know, they are the hosts. Even though you're paying money to be there, there is always a thing. There's a bit of a back and forth when it comes to stuff like events like those dinners. You know, they are the hosts. It's their one request. It's one of the business casual is one of the easiest dress codes to ever follow because you can still look really cool. You can like, if you want to push the limits and totally give Aaron a throbbing vein in the front of his forehead, you can come in wearing a collared shirt with a giant floral print on it, for instance. But if you do that, Aaron will kill you.
I'm honestly fine with that.
Okay.
The thing that gets me is, and it happens every year, somebody will come in with ratty shorts and a ratty t-shirt. And it's like, well, everybody else did their part to dress up a little bit. You know,
well, you see, I have
15,
a weird...
20 bucks. You can look respectable.
I have a weird perspective on this because I've said before, ever since I was in Japan, I've got this weird kind of like, when I'm in a social convention like that, I got this weird like dress vanity going on. So I always, like, I can't comprehend the idea of showing up to a formal event like that. Like, it doesn't actually click with me at all.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't have to be dressed to the nines. It just needs to be, you know, even if it's, if you can't, I don't want to say if you can't afford it because you spent $400 or so just to be there and breathing the same air. But, you know, even if you go nice jeans, you know, shoes, sandals don't really cut it. And, you know, like I said, the $10 Walmart polo, that's cool. It, like I said, it's just when you have people that do that, the ratty shorts and a t-shirt, or the ratty shorts and a t-shirt, and the lack of hygiene, going back to point number one, I'm with you. I think more and more it's not 10 people with bad hygiene, it's one person with bad hygiene.
Yeah, like for instance, if you're a dude there and you want to pimp out like your site that you run, and you have your one t-shirt with your site logo on it, you really want people to see it, so you wear that t-shirt all 3 days. You know, if you're going to do that, make three t-shirts, for instance, as a hypothetical situation here.
But, Yeah, that, I don't know why, because I'm not normally somebody that dresses up. It's not like I go out to clubs and get all classy. But at the same time, it's, you know what, I've made the effort to try and look nice. And it's not that hard. I don't know why it's a sticking point.
Well, it's a really weird thing to bring up too, because it's hard to say it without sounding like, you know, oh, you poor people in your sweatshirts, you know, I got so much gold. Like Aaron said, it's not that expensive to pick up some business casual, and you know what? It'll come in handy. You go to a job interview in business casual, they're more likely to like you than if you show up in the antithesis of business casual.
Yeah. I'm not saying you got to be suit, jacket, vest, even ruffly shirt, tie. Yeah, you will be. A little close. But
I'm such a girl. I'm sorry. Like, seriously, I when I go to these conventions, I actually prepare like daily like outfits for each day.
Yes.
I have to do my hair. Oh my god.
But see, you just stopped me there.
I'm sorry.
What else we have?
The only other thing I can think of would be the social side of things. How to meet people. Now, I mean, we already said the whole thing of, you know, and it's hard. You can't quantify creepy, but, you know, if you think about it, put yourself outside of yourself for a second, you know, of course, don't do stuff that's going to make you off-putting to people. And I don't mean like stuff that you're worried is going to make you off-putting to people. I mean like crazy ass stuff that will make people go like, it's nice talking to you, as they're like backing away from you. So, if you're going to this and you haven't met up with many people before, here's my tips. Okay, number one, you're probably a very sane, normal person, so just go up to folks from, for instance, from the same message board you go to, and just say hi. I go to TFW 2005. This is my username. Nice to meet you. And that's how you start it, you know. And then if the folks you're talking to say, hey, we gotta head off, you know. Let them head off. If you're going the same direction, go like, oh hey, I'm going there too. Then, you know, mention it. But you know, if they look like it's like, this is a case where it's not everyone can do this. If you can read, you know, the body language, like you can tell if someone kind of wants to be on their own or not. But the main thing is be chill. That is how you get to know people. Even if you're a manic person, like I am a manic ass person. Let Aaron tell you.
No, not at all. Perfectly.
That's right. That's what I taught you. Even if you're a crazy ass person, all right, you can still be crazy ass. You can still be chill about meeting people. So the best way to get to know people is to be relaxed, be casual, and just go like, hey, what's up? I mean, that is okay. Be an empire. That is a perfect example. Empire is a chill, lax dude. The first time I met Empire, he was just like, sup, I'm Empire. He's like, sup, I'm Empire. I'm from New York. And then he like slapped me in the face with a New York pizza pie and stuff. Well, he didn't do that, but
no.
Yeah, Empire is a great example. I don't mean to pump him up here, but when I got to know Empire, because the dude is he's chill, nice guy to talk to in the lineup, and there you
go. It's one of those things that when you come off with one of those attitudes, you know, you're going to see him in the dealer room. It's going to be, oh hey, how's it going for you? And then that's when you can get your kind of, oh no, I just picked this up. Oh awesome, how much was it? Do they have more?
Yeah,
they do. Where was it? Bye. And, you know, and you can have good experiences like that. The best place to start that kind of, like I was saying before, to kind of pull all those threads back together, like we were meaning to do it, is in your lineups.
Yes.
In your package pickup, in your add-on pickup, in autograph lines. Talk to the people around you. You're going to be stuck around them for at least a half an hour, more likely 2 or 3 hours. And don't be like, hi, what's your favorite Transformer?
I really like Transformers.
Because, you know, if they don't like Transformers, something's wrong, or they're there with someone.
Yeah.
If they're there with someone, then they're together and you may not want to be working in that dynamic. But, you know, hey, how's it going? Where are you from? You know, what boards do you visit? Those are good starting off points for conversations for anything.
Yes, and there's a really important one in there I really want to bring up too. Okay, if you're on one board, right, and someone says, hi, I'm from another board, don't be the crazy ass dude who's like, you're from that board? Oh, poof. And like spit, you're like that board, and then like you cut an Iron Sheik promo on them. Like here's the thing, all right? all the boards, there's friendly rivalries all over the place, there's maybe serious rivalries all over the place. But, like, when you're face-to-face, does it really matter? You know, that's the thing. Does it really matter what internet site the guy you're talking to, who you've never met before, goes to? Like, you know, if they go to a site you don't like, then just don't make it a talking point. You know, I just want to put that out there. Because Aaron and I both have our funny story about an instance that Aaron may have made a sound effect in regards to, in which someone kind of brought up a board rivalry. And maybe they meant it to be in a friendly way, but it didn't come off in a very, like, jokey kind of like, oh, he must have been, man. It came off more as like, oh, my, okay.
That was somebody hissing at Bima.
Yes, and Bima, of all people.
Dan? Was Dan there?
Dan might have been there.
Or nearby, too.
Yeah. It's one of those stories. Like, that's the thing, okay? These are fun stories to tell, but don't be the guy that becomes one of these stories.
Yes.
That's the thing. But, I mean, at the same time, we're trying to – now we're getting into a realm almost outside of our own expertise where we're trying to talk about, like, social stigma and how to be in a healthy social environment. And, of course, we can only say so much, and what we're saying is in our own semantics and it's in our own candor, you know. Don't misconstrue us. Don't take it all dead literal. Just, you know, at the end of the day, be a cool dude and people will be cool to you. And that's the best way I can put it.
So do we have anything else? Anything for first-time convention goers?
Because
I just thought of a couple.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Working back with a lot of lines, comfortable shoes.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Good one.
Don't try and break in shoes when you're there, because I'm going to be doing a lot of walking. Woo! No. Because you'll get blisters. Another one is bring a bag to the dealer room. If you're expecting to do a lot of pickup of stuff... Some dealers will have a bunch of old plastic Walmart bags behind their table. Some won't. Some will be like, hey, I got it here. It's yours now. Deal. I generally bring my backpack that's been in probably as many videos and whatnot as I have been coming around conventions and DVDs and Blu-rays and all that fun stuff. I like to feel like I'm famous. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just carrying the backpack with you, that way if you've got a camera you're carrying around or a camcorder, you don't necessarily have to have a separate bag. You can put it all in there. My backpack will fit 95% of the purchases that I've made. Very rarely has there been anything I've not been able to get in the bag or at least do a decent attempt at. I think the Star Convoy was a little bit of a fight to get reissue.
We also tend to, we have the advantage of we usually get into the hotel that's attached. So if we do run out of bag space, like, oh, I'm going to go upstairs and then come back down.
There's that also. Mm-hmm. We're kind of too late to deal with
guys.
That.
Just so you know, you should probably get in the attached hotel. Oh.
If you're in the attached hotel, you know, don't be afraid to run back 5 minutes and come back down.
You have a warehouse.
Right. If you aren't in the attached hotels, then bags become very important.
Extremely important.
Because if it's a 10-minute cab ride to get back to your hotel, you're not going to be wanting to pay the $30 round trip to drop off a bunch of stuff. If you have the option and you have the time, hopefully this will be out very rapidly, go to a Toys R Us and ask if you can get a couple of the big bags after making a purchase.
Yeah, just
you
go
know,
like...
Hey, go hey, in, buy need... a couple things, say, hey, can I get a couple of those big bags? And you can make up a reason.
Yeah, like I need to put my baby in one of these, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible.
Tie it up real tight and swing it over your head. You know, those... Big Toys R Us bags. Toys R Us makes them big for a reason.
For BotCon specifically.
Yeah, for BotCon specifically. Or bring the eco bags, the recycle or the reusable bags. Those can kind of, you can get like 20 of those bags in one big bag and then work your way out. You'd be carrying a lot of bags by the end of it. But that sort of thing will help you out a lot so that you're not like having to underarm carry the mint and sealed box G1 Ultra Magnus that you just got, and he's in perfect crunch shape. trying to think what else. When it comes to the dealer pickup or to the pre-reg pickup stuff, those boxes are big. Think of a big, like not Monopoly, because Monopoly is really bigger. Like the game of life with the spinner and the plastic stuff on it.
Yeah, and
big box.
Also, when you pick it up, you are allowed to open it up and inspect it and yes. do it.
Do it.
Do not suddenly get chivalrous about saving someone time in line. This is the one time where you want to take your time, because if you're missing any parts, it's going to be hell trying to get back to them later in the convention to go like, hey, right. I'm missing some pieces. So check it out when you get it. They let you do it. There's a reason why they let you do it. So do it.
I'm trying to think what else, but yeah, be prepared to have a bag for that. Because that's big. That's the one thing that won't fit in my backpack.
Yeah.
That's why probably this weekend I'll need to go to Toys R Us.
It's usually wrapped in like plastic. And then if you're dumb like me, you think, oh, I'll just push some handholds in there. Then, you know, after about an hour of waiting in line, the handholds you pushed in just rip straight through. And now you're dragging this thing around by its horrifically mangled plastic sheath. And it right. doesn't turn out all that well.
Yeah. The plastic bag that comes with it is more of a protect the thing from incidental contact, not a carrying device.
Yes, indeed. But,
trying to think of anything else that's going that is a good pro tip for first timers.
All I'm thinking of is just like the social stuff that we already touched on. I'm running out of stuff here because don't videotape the Hasbro panel. Don't be the goon that everyone yeah. hates after you do it. You know, just go there to enjoy yourself and get your money's worth out of it. That's the key thing. And be a cool dude. I think at the end of the day, right, go there, have fun, enjoy yourself, and don't be one of those guys that turns into one of those amusing stories we tell to each other on Skype over right. the next year afterwards.
I'm thinking Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other.
Yes, be a Keanu, not a Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Man, that was good. Actually, I could put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should close this one out for now.
Yeah, that's sounding good at just breaking an hour. So.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everyone. If this has helped you at all, please let us know. I mean, that would make me feel so good about myself. Let me tell you yeah. something. If this
he really doesn't need reinforcement.
I totally do, man. Oh, how I do.
It's a drug for him.
And if you have been offended horrifically by anything in here, then, you know, let us know, and I am up for some back and forth.
Yeah, if you have ideas in about this, go ahead and drop it in the thread,
yeah.
in the forum, and hopefully somebody that's downloading this for the first time will come in and look at it and go, well, those morons forgot the most obvious thing.
Yeah, wear Axe so all the chicks yeah. jump on you.
Yeah, because it works like that.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, just don't make the hygiene joke. I'm so tired of the hygiene joke. And I used
only
to
we
make,
to
the
make that joke.
I used to always be, you know, hey, BotCon threat. Number one, wash yourself. You know, like assuming that everyone's a dribbling idiot who doesn't know how to clean themselves. Like, you know. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. This has been Vangelis. That's been Aaron, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been.
And we're going to see you at BotCon, hopefully. So yep. come on, say hi. Don't become one of our stories.
Yes. Or if you do, go way over the top.
Yeah,
so it's
totally
like immortalized. Did you see that? Oh, God.
You know, just go crazy, like run up on stage, like, I'm going to French kiss Paul Eiding, you know, while reciting your favorite Perceptor / fiction. Okay, I shouldn't give people ideas. No. Bye.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.